WNYC Studios is supported by the Public Theater, presenting the world premiere of Jordans, a new play by Ife Olujobi about two young black colleagues forced together and torn apart by their race, ambition, and otherworldly circumstances. Directed by Whitney White, begins April 11th. Learn more at publictheater.org.
In a town where everyone is so carefully reinventing themselves,
forget the myths. The media has created.
Genuinely change Washington.
That's a great slogan. You toss it around everywhere you go.
We have serious problems to solve.
Well, if not you, then who?
Put my hands all in my brain. Let me face the storm, seem the same.
So how solid are the reds and blues on America's political map? It's something we want to explore between now and next year's congressional elections in 2014. The reds and blues of America may be in flux. Could we find ourselves more purple than red or blue? Purple prose politics. Think about it. We got a test of all that last night. Could the red in South Carolina's first congressional district fade to blue? Could a Democrat win in a solidly Republican district? Former South Carolina Republican Governor Mark Sanford handily won his race against Democratic opponent Elizabeth Colbert Bush.
I just want to acknowledge a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances, because that is the reality of our shared humanity.
You may recall Sanford had a fall from grace worthy of a Milton or a Dante in 2009 when, as governor of the state and a married man, he took a trip to Argentina to see a woman, now his fiancée, but lied about it publicly. He then went through a divorce with his wife, Jenny Sanford, and faced impeachment. A divine comedy not so funny to South Carolina voters until last night. Supporters cheering him again, Mark Sanford winning in the first congressional district in the very unaverage city of Charleston, South Carolina. Joining us now, Brian Hicks, columnist for the Charleston Post and Courier, who covers politics. Brian, welcome.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Great. What was the test here? Do you think that people really believed? I mean, nationally, it seemed as though a Democrat had a chance in a place where that would never have been the case.
Well, there were a lot of people here who thought that she had a chance. And that's just because of Governor Sanford's personal problems. And then a few weeks ago, it came out that his ex-wife has charged him with trespassing on her property. And it looked bad for him for a while. But all that's ignoring the electoral math of the first district.
And is this about the map in the first district, or is it something to do with people being loyal to Sanford?
I don't know that anyone is really loyal to Sanford. One of the funny things that we heard around here a lot from people was, so we're going to hold our nose and vote for Sanford. And the bottom line is, to a majority of people in the first district, you vote Republican or you don't vote.
And so there's no Democrat who possibly could have been a challenge under that scenario.
I really don't know of one. I'll tell you, Elizabeth Colbert Bush, she did okay. I wouldn't say she was a great candidate. She wasn't a horrible one. It looked bad. She only agreed to one debate with Sanford, and at first it looked like they were going to have three or four, so it kind of looked like she was dodging. And the Republicans tied her pretty well to Nancy Pelosi and out-of-state money, even while they were collecting out-of-state money. But it's just really an uphill climb for a Democrat in that district.
And the headwind really relates to the fact that it's something you told one of our producers, if Jesus Christ ran as a Democrat, there'd still be a lot of people opposed to him down in the first district. Of course, long ago, South Carolina was solidly Democrat in the old pre-Johnson days. Can it ever revert? Any signs of red becoming blue?
I think if that happens, that's generations away. The Republicans have a pretty solid lock on this state, and as long as they are the ones in the legislature redrawing our congressional districts, you're probably going to see the same sort of makeup down here. I mean, Mitt Romney carried the first district by 18 points, so Bush had a tall hill to climb.
I mean, well, Obama had a tough hill to climb as well. When you talk about the redistricting, do we have full Republican majorities all throughout the legislature and the state house?
Oh yeah, they control the House and Senate solidly, and they redraw the congressional districts. And Jim Clyburn, you know, our lone Democratic congressman, they pack as many Democratic precincts into his district as they can. And it's funny, you hear a lot of Republicans talking about gerrymandering because Clyburn's district is so safe. But in actuality, what that does is makes the other six safe for Republicans.
And does this change at all in 2014? I mean, is Sanford going to be a, you know, 12-term congressman now?
Well, he said the other day that he thought now 12 years was the limit. So I guess three more terms. He could possibly face a primary challenge in 2014, but I don't see it being a serious one. He's going to be in there, and as long as he keeps his nose clean for the next year and a half, he's probably pretty safe.
What about a future for Colbert Bush? I mean, she probably isn't going to go down this road and run in 2014, but she might. Is this in any sense a base for a Democrat to get more visibility in a state where mathematically it's almost impossible?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to a Republican yesterday, and he said that she would have a better chance running statewide than in the first district, just the way the districts are drawn. Usually in statewide races, Democrats pull in the 40-45% range, and so you'd have a better chance going statewide. But I don't know that that's in her future.
So, but if there's one thing that's been proven here is that a Democrat could possibly win statewide based on the interest here, but in the district, forget it.
Yeah, it would be pretty tough to win in this district.
Brian Hicks is a columnist for the Charleston Post and Courier. He covers politics. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
We're talking about politics and the shift from red to blue, blue to red between now and 2014. If you have any stories regarding changes, details in your own communities that suggest something is afoot, we'd love to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post a comment at thetakeaway.org. We're also talking about the most average cities and towns in America. Nominations, please. Listener nominated Boston. It has summer, winter, ugly skyscrapers and beautiful houses, water and land attractions, and the people are pretty legit as well. Did you hear that, Bostonians? Pretty legit. Davey in Florida. Very mixed demographics, trying to maintain town image, but very busy city, says this listener. And Amy Hammond from Tampa, Florida says, I was told years ago it was a test market for new restaurants. So, average restaurants in Tampa. I guess the restaurateurs might not want to hear that. But Amy, thanks so much for sharing. Coming up, we continue our week-long series on women who've broken through and have risen to the top in male-dominated fields. With us next is Karen Peets, president of BNY Mellon Bank. Stay with us.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.